It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's the best way to start off the week. So awesome that you're stopping by. You know, it's, we call it, it is a real privilege to get out there and vote. So I don't want to sound too soapboxy or too preachy, but, you know, get out there and vote. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get the party started with the quote of the day. Only free men can negotiate. A prisoner cannot enter into contracts. That is by the late, great Nelson Mandela, who, as you guys probably know, was in prison for like 26 years and then later on became president of his country. So he really knows what he's talking about. Only free men can negotiate. A prisoner cannot enter into contracts. All right. My guest today is Andrew Weisblatt. Andrew Weisblatt is the owner and force behind the Weisblatt Law Firm, a boutique firm headquartered in Katy, Texas, providing mid-sized businesses with general legal needs and litigation services. Mr. Weisblatt has extensive business experience along with 26 years of legal experience, a combination which has produced a lawyer who understands what businesses need in their lawyer. For some reason, my lips are wearing out. Andrew Weisblatt, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks. So happy to be here again.
Absolutely. You know what? And this is interesting because, you know, I know a lot of people when they start off in business, you know, there's this idea, this ideal that, hey, I'm going to do things a certain way, and because I'm going to do them a certain way, and because I'm going to produce a great product and deliver great service and all the stuff that I'm going to do, I'm never going to need a lawyer. And unfortunately, that's just not realistic. It doesn't matter how good you are or how good your product is or how much you love your customer. Sooner or later, if you're going to run a successful business, you're going to need a lawyer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you involve a lawyer in your business very early, the likelihood that you will need one on an emergency basis goes way down.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. That's absolutely true. You know, what's the old saying? A ounce of cure is worth a pound of prevention. No.
An ounce of prevention
is worth a pound of cure. And that's so true. You know, one of my favorite things that I like to talk to my clients about is the need for having an attorney create that contract that you're going to use over and over and over again. And maybe you already have a great contract, but get that second opinion and have them review it. Maybe it just needs to be updated. Maybe, you know, you're missing a couple of clauses or terms that could save you time and money. I know that there's a certain, affinity to, you know, save money and all this other stuff. But I totally agree with you that get that lawyer involved early, get him involved in drafting these documents that you're going to be using on a regular basis, and make sure that you understand how these documents are to be used and all this other stuff. And your life is 10 times easier, period.
It is. And we, particularly entrepreneurs, they always want to get up and running. And once they're up and running, then they want to sort of add the foundation. But I found that if you start with the foundation, you can build a much stronger structure rather than trying to add it underneath a business that's already going. And if you have the right contract, it can really, really help you in terms of First of all, avoiding conflict, because if you have clarity between you and your customer or you and your vendor about what's expected on both sides, that right there eliminates a tremendous amount of dispute. So often I'm involved in litigation where the dispute is rooted in the fact that the people weren't communicating from the very beginning. In addition to that, if things do go south, we always want everything to go smoothly, but that's not how life works. Sometimes things don't go smoothly, and if you have a good contract in place, it can set out in advance your exposure for the project and who's responsible for what risks. And just having those terms compliant with the law and in place can save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the event of litigation.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about what to expect if somebody actually becomes involved in a lawsuit, because, you know, the legal system, I want to say to 90% of the world, what's the old saying? A mystery wrapped around an enigma, something. There's a third
yes.
component to that, but it is very mysterious. It's a foreign language. It's a foreign land. And so kind of walk us through what to expect if somebody becomes involved in a lawsuit.
Well, if you're a defendant in a lawsuit, it usually starts with you receiving a notice that's given by a constable. And the notice is usually given to your registered agent if you're a business. And the registered agent gives you the lawsuit. Here's the important take-home message. One, don't ignore that. If you ignore it, you lose. And two, hire a lawyer to help you handle it, because that lawsuit is going to be full of things that you will not understand if you're a layperson, and you might even think that you understand them, but generally you don't. A third thing to know is that in the state of Texas, a corporation or an LLC cannot represent itself in court. And so if you're the president and owner of an LLC and you get sued, unless you're a lawyer, you're not allowed to go and represent that LLC in court. And if you try to do that, the other side's going to knock out your answer and going to win by default.
Sure, sure. And this is one of those deals, right? I want to bring this up. This is a situation where people become, penny wise and dollar foolish. And that is, I'm going to avoid getting a entity. I'm just going to be a sole proprietor, so I don't have to worry about representing myself in court. And I want to talk about this down the road, but this is one of those situations where having an entity doesn't, you know, protects you in so many different ways, and it's foolish not to take this very simple step, no matter, you know, where you live or where your business is doing business. Having a LLC or a corporation, I think, is the minimum you should do.
Oh, absolutely. It's typically inexpensive. My law firm creates a lot of LLCs. We do 3 to 5 of them a month, so it's something we're doing basically every single week. We charge a flat rate for it, and that flat rate includes everything that you need in order to get your business up and running, and it isn't expensive, it isn't complicated, it isn't a lengthy process. Usually from the time that we're hired until the time that task is complete is only about a week. So it's not going to slow you down, and it is going to provide you lots and lots of protection from contractual liability.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, so Okay, so here I am. I'm a defendant. I just got served by a constable or by other means or whatever, a process server possibly. Anyway, I just got served. And what's the next step?
Well, lawsuits have a few big steps. The first step, the first part of the lawsuit involves getting everyone in front of the court. That's the part where everybody gets served and then everybody answers. And once everybody's in front of the court, typically the next step is discovery. Discovery is the process where both sides find out everything there is to know about the other side's case. People think that you go to a trial and at the trial there's surprise evidence. That doesn't happen anymore in civil cases because basically judges and the Supreme Court of the state of Texas and legislature sort of looked at what was happening in our courts and they said, you know what, if people knew everything about each other's case, there would be a whole lot more cases that would settle. Because usually by the end of discovery, you've got a pretty good idea who's right about this and who's wrong about this, and that's what makes cases settle. So there's the first big step is the discovery process. That step is really expensive. That's where most of the money is spent when you're fighting a lawsuit is in that discovery process because there's two different kinds of discovery. There's written discovery, where you ask the other side written questions or you ask them to produce documents. And then there's oral discovery, where you do depositions, where people are asked questions under oath in front of a court reporter. These things take a lot of time and they cost a lot of money. So in some cases, particularly if the facts are not particularly in dispute, I like to encourage a settlement discussion after everyone is in the case, but before we launch on discovery. And I found that sometimes you can actually resolve the case at that point and you end up saving a ton of money.
Yeah. You know, and I think that in a lot of cases, sometimes what is really needed is somebody who can get both of the parties communicating, right? And sometimes that's done, you know, by having, I don't know, I'll call it a group therapy session. I know it's, you know, just getting in there and hammering out and getting these feelings out of the way and kind of dealing with it. And in some cases, I know that, like, for instance, there's this thing about mediation where, you know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, where they'll put, let's say, the defendant in one room and the plaintiff in one room, and then the mediator goes back and forth, tries to work out an issue, tries to work it out without having to go to court. I think that a lot of lawsuits can be resolved by getting the parties to communicate. Kind of like, again, what you're talking about. Can we settle this? What's going on? And really get to why the case was filed to begin with.
Exactly. That mediation process in Texas, most of the judges will not let you have a trial unless you have been to mediation. And the reason for that is because mediation works. And if you're a business person, why are you in business? You're in business for one reason. You're in business to make money. And if you're litigating, that is distracting you from your fundamental goal. So one of the things that you and your lawyer should be thinking about at every stage of the litigation is, hey, is there a way to end this disruption? Because lawsuits are disruptive. They distract you from your primary function. Instead of being out there selling widgets, you're spending time trying to answer discovery.
Yeah, Yeah. And here's something else a lot of people don't know is that, lawsuits kind of like, like a cancer, if you will, grows. I mean, you hear some of these lawsuits that have lasted years. I mean, you mentioned the discovery phase, and the discovery phase can take a long time because there's, some people are not forthcoming, or they're trying to say, hey, this is protected, and so I don't want to release it, and all this other stuff. But some cases, because maybe the complexity or whatever, or because of the party's activities, literally stretch out for years. And I think that and again, I want your opinion on this. When it comes to a lawsuit, man, the quicker, fastest resolution is usually the best.
That's usually true, especially if you're a defendant, you're looking for a way to end this pain. And if you're not involved in litigation very often, it can be a very helpless feeling for the business owner, because they're being subjected to all sorts of forces and they don't have a lot of control over them. That's one of the reasons that you really want to try to find an experienced lawyer to help you get across this river that is this lawsuit, because you're going to go through the discovery process. Sometimes you can't resolve the case until you've gone through discovery. Sometimes there's such conflict over the actual facts that you have to go through that process in order to get clarity on the facts. But once you do, then you enter another phase of the lawsuit, where you're either trying to mediate the case or you're trying to win based on what's called a motion for summary judgment. And that essentially is a request to the court that one side or the other win because the other side cannot prove an essential element of their case. And the summary judgment process is important, because if you win on a summary judgment, it ends the lawsuit. It's over, just like if you had a trial.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like I said earlier, lawsuits are sometimes a part of life. And I think that if you're out there making things happen, lawsuits really become a part of your life. I mean, if you're an individual who, let's say you're not a business owner, you're not doing anything, then you probably won't have to worry about it too much. But if you're out there and you're trying to shake the trees and you're making things happen, we hear these weird lawsuits that happen all the time. And typically those lawsuits happen because somebody's out there trying to make things happen. So let me ask you this. Here we are. Let's say I'm your client and I come to you and I want to file a lawsuit. Kind of walk me through those steps. I mean,
sure.
Again, you're a lawyer, so obviously, I'm thinking, hey, you're in the business of filing lawsuits, so obviously that's going to earn you money. But is that your go-to place, or do you try to reason with your clients and say, I don't know if a lawsuit's best, or anyway, walk me through the process. I've come to you. I want to file a lawsuit. I'm
sure.
Mad as heck. I don't want to take it anymore. And walk me through your style, your process.
Sure. Well, I start from the premise that it really needs to be worth it, okay?
Mm.
Because it's going to be distracting, it's going to be time-consuming, and if we're arguing over a few thousand dollars, it's rarely going to make sense. So one of the first things I look at is, what is the amount in controversy? You can be absolutely 100% within your legal rights, and you might have the perfect lawsuit, but if you're arguing over $300, you don't want to do it. And basically, in my world, it does not even begin to make sense to start a lawsuit if you're talking about less than $25,000 or $30,000. Less than that, you really need to find alternative ways of solving that problem other than lawyering up. Because by the time you pay the legal fees, it eats up everything that makes the lawsuit worth it. We're in a money business, okay? And the judicial system is extremely effective, but it is highly inefficient. And so the first thing I do is I talk to the people about, you know, how much are we arguing over? Okay. The second issue is whether or not you can win the lawsuit. Do you have a good case? If it's a breach of contract, you know, a breach of contract, you look at the elements. There's duty, breach, you look at the elements. Was there a contract? Did the other side breach it? Do you have damages? And if they breached it, was there an excuse? Okay. And if you do have a good lawsuit and you do have an amount in controversy that makes sense, then I look at the defendant. Okay. Because it's one thing to sue Bill Gates. It's a whole nother thing to sue some guy who's living under a bridge. At the end of a lawsuit, the court decides who owes who money. And that is written down in the form of a judgment. But that's not money. A judgment is not money. It's the right to collect money. So if it's just like a check, you know, if someone writes you a check for $1 billion, there's not a whole lot of people where that check is going to be valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to emphasize this. So what you're saying is that it's one thing to have damages. Hey, this guy breached the contract and he owes me $50,000. But the other side of that coin is there even a possibility that you're going to collect that $50,000 judgment? Because they, you know, maybe this guy's on the verge of bankruptcy, so you get a judgment, he files bankruptcy, it's this, you know, it's dismissed. It's not dismissed, but it's, you know, it's done away with.
Right.
So it's not just, it's not a straight, simple thing where, hey, I have this claim, I'm going to be victorious in court, but if you can't collect the victory, then all you've done is spend a bunch of money.
Right. I get this call all the time. Someone will call me and say, I invested, pick a number. I invested $80,000 in this business, and the business never even opened, and now my business partner isn't returning my calls. Okay? Well, if you invested money in a business like that, you would expect the people that you invested with to do certain things. They should be working on the business, that money should be used for business purposes, and all sorts of things like that. And if that didn't happen, you're almost certainly going to win that lawsuit. The problem is, are you ever going to be able to collect any money from this person? And sadly, the answer is often no. And when people call me with that call, one of the things that I do, and I think every responsible lawyer does, is start explaining to them that, you know, they may have lost some money here, but they need to be very, very careful about risking any further money chasing the money that's already gone. Because it's real easy to encourage people in that situation. Yeah, let's go sue them. We're going to win this lawsuit. But you get to the end of the lawsuit, you get the judgment, and then there's no way to collect it.
Yeah.
And I hear that all the time. I also get the call all the time that people are unhappy with their contractors. I hired this guy to build a porch on my house. I paid him $25,000. He did 10% of the work, and now I can't find the guy. I want to sue. Well, you're going to win that lawsuit. you're going to win that lawsuit 999 times out of 1,000. But the problem is there's never going to be a collection. So before you start dumping money into a lawyer, you need to really think about all of these three things. How much are we fighting about? Whether or not you can win the case. And then if you win the case, is there any chance for recovery?
Absolutely. You know, it's and I'm sure that you've heard this in your office multiple times. I don't care about the money. It's the principle of the thing.
Well, and there are some times when that makes sense. There are some businesses that need to have a reputation of fighting every fight. Because if they don't have that reputation, then people are going to take advantage of them. But that situation, those situations are few and far between. For most people, what I say when they tell me that is, listen, you feel frustrated now, but you are not going to feel any better after giving me $25,000 or $50,000. That is not going to make you feel any better. You feel like it will, but it isn't.
Yeah. And you know, so I'm glad that we're talking about this, because at the end of the day, very few people are really in the position to say, hey, you know what? This guy ripped me off, or he did this, whatever. He breached the contract and he did it in such a hideous way that I don't care if I spend, you know, X amount, you know, whatever, $100,000 to make this guy, you know, whatever, just completely obliterate him off the face of the earth. Very few of us are in the position to do that. In fact, the only people that I know that did something similar to this, and this is a very, very old case, is Microsoft went after some giant spamming company. And, you know, they have a huge amount of resources, and they were literally able to demolish that company and the owners and the principals that were behind it. But very few of us are able to do that. So, all right. So something that you brought up, and that is, I got this judgment. I won the lawsuit. Can I now, you know, so how do I go about collecting the money?
And that is a whole, there's a whole art to trying to collect a judgment. And the first analysis is, who is the defendant? If the defendant is a business, there's one set of rules. And if the defendant is an individual, there's another whole set of rules. And so let's focus on the business side. Businesses have no exempt property. And what that means is that if there's a judgment against your business, a constable can seize every single asset of that business. And that means money, it means equipment, it means widgets, it means contracts. So if you have a judgment against a business, you can, there's a number of ways you can extract money from that business. If it's an individual, it's a whole different story. Individuals do have exempt property, and in the state of Texas, those exemption statutes are extremely broad. So it is possible that someone might have quite a lot of wealth, $1 million house, Lamborghini, $2 million in their 401k. None of that stuff is subject to being seized to satisfy a judgment.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And listening to you talk, I'm reminded of O.J. Simpson. As a lot of us will recall, O.J. Simpson won the criminal trial. He was acquitted there. And then the families filed a civil lawsuit, which he lost. And I forgot the millions of dollars that the judgment was. But his property was protected because it was in,
a trust.
Thank you. It was in a trust and in some other type of devices where they couldn't touch his money.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not at all uncommon. Even for high net worth individuals, a lot of times there's just nothing to seize. And so you want to have done that analysis before you spend a lot of time on a lawyer.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this is one of those exceptions, you know, where Ron Goldman, the father of one of the victims, you know, he was a fairly well-off man or wealthy individual, and he didn't care how much money he had to spend. He was determined to make Mr. Simpson pay for it. And, you know, he said many times that he never expected to get any money out of it, but he wanted the world to know. He wanted the world to know, and he wanted Simpson to pay for it. All right, so let's talk about this. You know, my what do you call it? My teleprompter started blinking. But I wanted to talk about something that we had mentioned, and that is the entity. You know, so many people say, hey, I'm going to start this business, and if it does well, then I'll get a corporation or an LLC, you know, but for right now, I'm going to keep things lean and tight. So therefore, you know, I'm just going to do this as a sole proprietor or as a, you know, whatever, as a DBA of myself. Let's talk about this. You know, does a corporate structure, you know, actually protect me?
It really does. A corporate structure will protect you from all contractual liability. So if you don't have a corporate structure and you make a deal with a vendor and that deal goes south, then you and the vendor are in a fight, you personally and that vendor. If you have a corporate structure and your corporation, whether it's an LLC or an Inc., makes a deal with that vendor and things go south, then the fight is between the vendor and your corporation. And if your corporation ends up losing that fight, then that judgment would be taken against the corporation, but your personal assets would not be at risk other than whatever you invested in the corporation. So it is very, very important for businesses, even small businesses, to go ahead, incorporate. In Texas, you can use an LLC. It's a very simple process, and the LLC can even be a disregarded entity for tax purposes, so it doesn't need its own tax return. And it is one of the cheapest forms of liability protection that's out there. The other thing that I just wanted to mention, and I know we're running short on time, is that the LLC, there is no corporate structure that will protect people from their own negligence. So I have a law firm. And if I provide services to you and I do it in a negligent manner, I'm going to get sued personally, even though my law firm is a corporate entity. Okay? So people would say, why bother to incorporate? Well, first of all, there's the contractual liability that I just described. But secondly, I have a lot of lawyers who work for me. If one of those lawyers does something negligent, my law firm's going to get sued, and that lawyer's going to get sued, but I'm not going to get sued personally. The corporate structure is a way for you to avoid liability for the negligence of your employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know I went over that kind of quickly, but hopefully
I like what you're saying there, and this is one of those things where people just need to understand that if you're not willing, and this is just my attitude, and I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this from years of personal experience as well as consulting with thousands of business owners, If you are not willing to invest a few hundred dollars up front to get an LLC or a corporate structure, then you're not serious. I would go as far as don't even try, because if you screw up, and all startups screw up a little bit, you could lose everything connected to you because you were too cheap to spend $300 or $400 on that LLC or corporate structure.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And I see that also, and I wonder about it. You know, in the same way that I often see people getting ready to sign a lease, you know, and they'll be ready to sign a commercial lease, 50 pages long, $700,000 deal, and they don't want to spend, you know, $800 to have a lawyer review it.
It boggles my mind.
It boggles my mind. You know, it's like you are signing a $700,000 deal, but you feel like you can't afford $1,000 for someone to look at it? How does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm sure that you get, you know, and here's the other side of that coin. It's the other side of that mindset is now they're going to come to you or their lawyer, you know, whatever their lawyer is, and say, hey, get me out of this lease, you know, and now, of course, you have to charge them X amount of dollars because, you know, right now you got to review the lease, so you got to charge them for reviewing the lease and see what their options are, and now they're trying to nickel and dime you to death. But I love what you said there. Here they are, they're taking literally no thought of signing this 50-page legal document created by a lawyer to protect their clients, and yet you're not willing to spend $1,000 to make sure that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that is the personification of penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beyond crazy. I think that, again, if you're going to be in business, there are some things you have to do. And one of them is, you know, you have to get some kind of corporate protection. You need to talk to your attorney at least, some kind of starter package. Talk to your attorney, get that LLC in place or whatever the proper corporate structure is. And I would also say, you know, spend a couple hundred dollars and talk to at least a bookkeeper. That probably won't cost you a couple hundred dollars. But, you know, there are some tax benefits to opening up your own business. There's some tax benefits to having certain corporate structures. So that, to me, is a worthwhile conversation as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think every business owner needs a good lawyer and a good accountant.
Yeah. Without a doubt, you will use these services, and if you never need them, well, God bless you. That's awesome. But the reality is if you're building your dreams and things are happening the way you want them to happen, a lawyer is going to come into play. Taxes are going to come into play. All these things are going to come into play. Andrew, we're out of time, but if somebody had a question, and I know that you deal specifically in the great state of Texas, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and maybe pick your brain or have you point them in the right direction, is there a website that they can go to?
Sure. It's www.weisblattlaw.com, weisblattlaw.com. All my contact information is right there.
All right, Andrew Weisblatt, thank you so much for stopping by. Always good to have you here.
Thanks, Bert. Really had fun.
All righty. Good stuff there from attorney Andrew Weisblatt. And you can find out more about Andrew and his team at weisblattlaw.com. Guys, I'm telling you, having these things in place will save you so much pain and suffering. It is, you know, if you're serious about your business, then get some kind of corporate structure or don't start your business until you're serious. If you have, if you think you have a, you know, what do you call it? You're going to, do some kind of shoestring, man, I'm telling you, this is like an insurance. It really is like an umbrella insurance. You spend a few $100s in this LLC or this corporate structure, this incorporation will protect your personal assets. It is a peace of mind. As always, my friends, let's share this show with anybody, everybody, all the people that you know and love. Let's help them know what to expect if they become involved in a lawsuit. And as always, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.